Well, nice to be back among you this afternoon. And as Brian mentioned, we may be PowerPointless, but hopefully I won't be pointless. And we'll try to make some points as we study this subject before us, eternity set in the human heart. I take a reading from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, and we'll return to this later on. So if you'd like to turn to it now, you can keep that spot if you want. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." This will serve to introduce our thoughts this afternoon. Before we go any further, we'd like to approach our God in prayer. So we'd ask you to humble yourself in some manner as together we pray. I'd like to reread Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Have you ever read that and wondered, wow, that's a little deep. What exactly does that mean? Well, I think it's easy for us to understand that everything that's beautiful in this world comes from God, as he says, but then you get to the human heart. And we're not talking here about the heart of God. We know that David was a man who was after God's own heart, the Bible says, but we're talking here about the human heart. God has set something up to dwell in the human heart, the core of our existence, not the organ that's in our chest, but the heart of who we are. He has set eternity in our hearts. Now, he does go on to say it's impossible for us to understand or fathom everything that God has done from the beginning of time, as we know it, until the end of time, as we know it. But we do know this. There is such a thing as eternity because he has set that in our hearts. That knowledge is within us. And you might say, God has placed this spiritual instinct, for lack of a better term, within our hearts. Eternity in your heart is a spiritual instinct. To me, it's a way to give us comfort in this uncomfortable world. You know, God has put us in an advantageous position that no matter what happens in life, no matter what may occur that affects you physically or mentally, you know spiritually that this world is not all there is. And that means a lot. It should mean a lot to us. We know as we can look around us that this is not all there is to our existence. The world, this world is not the end of us. And that's an advantageous thing to know. You know, that does me a lot of comfort. It gives me a lot of comfort that I believe in eternity whenever I visit a cemetery, whenever I attend a funeral. I know that there is such a thing as eternity in my heart because God's put it there, and it helps me through difficult times. It helps you when you believe that, and you may be what you think of as well into your twilight years. What we have here, well, this is not all there is. It's not over when this life is over. A few years ago, my good friend Jack Jones, who you remember well, he got very sick with esophageal cancer. He was dying, and he knew it. He called us and let us know. And Claudia and I went to visit him, and it ended up being the day before he left this world. And I later learned, a few days later, I learned that Dwayne had been up there to see him the week before. And Jack had told Dwayne this, and Jane and Dwayne shared this with me. He said, "There's going to be a funeral in the near future." And he was talking about himself. But he said that calmly. He was not distressed. He wasn't upset. He wasn't angry at the world or anything else. He didn't feel like he was getting the short end of the stick. Only been here 64 years. He didn't think that life was unfair. He was all right with that. And you can be that way when you accept the fact that God has put eternity in your heart. Jack knew that. He had eternity in his heart. So he was okay. Not everyone in this world accepts that. People actually deny what God has put in their heart, and we'll address that later on. But when you do accept it, it puts you at an advantage in life. It's not over. Now, we participated in or listened to discussions in the past about instinct. There is such a thing people claim as parental instinct, and I'd have to agree with that from my experience. There is such a thing as motherly instinct, as you who are mothers would agree with. There is such a thing as animal instinct, and you've probably seen evidence of that. Animals, it seems, somehow have some knowledge as to how to take care of themselves, at least to an extent. There seems to be some inborn instincts among animals and among people as well. Some instincts that one is born with, but then there are also instincts that we have that we learn about that we may not be aware of right away. Learn from our experience in the physical realm, and of course, learning involves the mental aspect as well as our intellect. So you can say that there is such a thing as three different types of human instinct. There's the physical instinct, and we learn things from experience. Physical evidence is involved. The mental instinct that we learn does exist within us. And the spiritual instinct that God has placed in our hearts, that there is such a thing as eternity. Now let's talk about these three instincts. First of all, eternity by physical instinct. Today, we find physical evidence in the physical Word of God. And I know we could go into stories about how people have found artifacts and evidence of the flood and things like that, but I won't go there for lack of time. But we'll talk about physical evidence about eternity. In Titus 1, verse 2, it says, "A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." Eternal life was something promised before time began as we know it. Eternity cannot be measured by time, so it makes sense that it's been around longer than time has, that as we know it. We have scriptures in the physical realm to confirm that. You know, sometimes in life, we hear people make a claim based on longevity. Well, this has been the way it's always been, so that it has to be right. Well, that's how it is, so it has to be correct. Well, everyone's always looked at it this way, so that has to be accurate. It has to be true. People have always known this, so it has to be true. Well, eternal life was promised before the beginning of time. It's been so long, it's impossible for us to really go back that far if we look at the books, the pages of history. If you go back to Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, it's one of those things that God has done from beginning to end that the human mind simply cannot fathom. Physical instinct confirms this from reading physical scriptures, like Luke 24, for example. When Jesus was resurrected, verse 2, it says, "They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes, they were angels, that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen." Did these ladies fail to believe in eternity? Well, no. Physical instinct told them otherwise. They could see that the body was not there, and they could hear the words of these two that appeared to them, which they could also see. In verse 33, it goes on to say, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Physical evidence. Verse 50, "When they led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven, or he ascended up into heaven. And they stood there watching him until he disappeared from sight. Physical evidence. If you and I had been there, our physical instinct would have confirmed that eternity is real because we saw these things. The eternity that God has set in our hearts is physically evident. Eternity by mental instinct. Now, when I say this, let me say that instinct is something you're born with. It's not something you really learn, but you can learn about an instinct that you may not have been aware of. So, having said that, keep that in mind as we talk for a minute or two about this. You know, in the world today, with all of the technology available, it's very possible to have what appears to be physical evidence of something, but it's not true. Because evidence can be tampered with. Things can be made to have an appearance of something that is not actual. And so it is possible that some today, despite the physical evidence of the scriptures, simply do not believe in eternity. You can show them in the Bible, there is such a thing as eternity, and they'll say, well, I just don't believe it, even though I see it. Our intellect is very much involved. Our mental approach is crucial. Our mental instinct is critical as to whether we believe in something or not. One thing that has always troubled me about folks who do not believe in God, which means they don't believe in eternity either, is this. If you don't believe in eternity, then what are you left with? I mean, really, if you don't believe there's something beyond this life, what does that leave you with? That leaves you with this life only. And that leaves you with very little, doesn't it? You don't have much to look forward to, do you? If you deny that which God has put in your heart to believe, what do you have? The answer is nothing. The Bible describes it as misery. You and I, we are people that we don't like that word. We don't like to think that we ever live in misery. But that's the case if we don't believe in eternity. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16 through 19, it says, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith, your mental belief is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost, those who have passed away already. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men, we are of all men most miserable. If all you believe in is this life, he says, of all people who have ever lived, you are among the most miserable. The inspired writer uses our mental instinct that we have, that we've learned about, to reason things out. If there is no such thing as eternity, then our faith is futile. If there's no such thing as the dead being raised, if that never has happened and never will happen, then that means Christ was never raised. It's all a lie, is what it would mean. If the hope you have in Christ has to do with this life only and not the life to come, then you are among the most miserable people who have ever lived in this world. Have you ever talked to an atheist? Have you ever visited with somebody who just doesn't believe in Christ? Have you ever discussed Jesus with someone who believes that Jesus did live physically, apparently because he has such a large following today, so many believe in him, but he was just another man. He wasn't the Son of God. Well, I have in all three scenarios. And you know what I've noticed about all of these people? In every case, in every scenario, in every situation, they live absolutely miserable lives. Why? Because God has set eternity in their hearts, but they don't believe in it. The inner conflict exists, I guess you could call it a stubborn rebellion in a way, against the way that God made them. They deny their instinct, and as a result, mentally, they are miserable because, really, they have nothing. Nothing puts them at peace. Nothing seems to make them happy. Nothing satisfies them. I used to feel spite, actually, for people like that, but through the years, I've learned instead to feel sorry for them. Because it pains me to see people unhappy when I know they don't have to be. Miserable by choice, you might say. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul was talking about something that had happened to him. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 2. He was allowed to get a glimpse of what he called paradise. He said, I know a man in Christ, talking about himself, who 14 years ago, he says, was caught up to the third heaven, which is paradise. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. He couldn't tell. But God knows. And I know that this man was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. In other words, he saw such grandeur and such unbelievable sights as he was allowed to have a glimpse of paradise that God instructed him, don't tell people the details of what you saw up here. You're not permitted to tell about this. Paul said he doesn't know if he was there in the flesh or not. He really couldn't tell. He may have been there in the spirit only, which would seem more likely, but again, we don't know. He doesn't remember. He doesn't know. He can't tell. But one thing he does know for certain, he was there mentally. He remembered inexpressible things that he saw and heard, but he's not allowed to tell about them. He believed in eternity through his mental instinct that he learned that he had. It has everything to do with belief in eternity. In John 3, verse 15, for everyone who believes in Jesus should not perish, but may have eternal life in him. Eternity in our hearts leads to eternal life from believing in Jesus. It's part of us. You know, there are so many verses in the New Testament which echo these words, and every one of them appeal to our instinct to believe in eternity. Finally, we'll get around now to eternity by spiritual instinct, and we'll go back to our verse that we opened with, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. I'll read part of it again. God has set eternity in the human heart. Eternity is something in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, part of that is within us. And it was put there by God. Has anyone ever asked you, well, how do you know that that's true over there? How can you be so sure about this? And you answer by just saying, well, I just know that it is. I just know that it's true. That's how it is. I just know it. Well, that's how eternity in your heart is. How do you believe in eternity? Well, I just know that it's true. It's within me because God put it in there. You could call it your spiritual instinct if you want to. You know, one thing that kind of dawns on you, if you think about it, is that people can put whatever they want in their heart. They really can. You can put whatever you want to in your heart. We have a lot of control over what's in our heart. For example, what if you decided to get angry at somebody because they got sick? Now, it may sound preposterous, but it's very possible when someone very close to you may pass on, you may go through the stages of grief, and one of those stages is anger. You know, I know a lady who was telling me how her husband passed away, and she went out to the cemetery after a while, stood over his grave, and really let him have it. How could you leave me with all these problems? How could you leave now when the kids are having these issues? When the grandkids are dealing with this, when I'm having to deal with all of it and my problems. You took the easy way out. How dare you leave me? She was mad. He died of a heart condition. It was beyond his control. But in her heart, she had anger. And it came out one time when she went out to the cemetery. People can put whatever they want in their heart, even if after a while you think about it and you think, well, I shouldn't have done that. That was silly. After a while, you go through the stages of grief. You're angry at the person who passed on because they're not there. They help you with some problems, and you face them without them. But after a while, the anger subsides, and you go on to the next stage. But then you look back. It just doesn't seem right to hold something against somebody that was beyond their control. We can put things in our heart that are just not right. A couple years ago, I went to see a family who had left the church like 25 years ago. And I was there when they left. They got upset at somebody, and they were so angry, they just said, we're not going anymore. And they didn't. So 25 years go by. The people they're angry at are not there anymore. The one they were the most angry at has died. So I thought, well, maybe they're open to coming back to church. So I went to see them, sat down with them. And you know what they told me? They said, we're still mad at Brother So-and-so. And I said, well, I saw you at his funeral. How can you still be mad at somebody who's lying in a grave somewhere? Well, if I had it my way, he would be resurrected for a few minutes so I could chew him out one more time. I kid you not. People can put whatever they want in their hearts. They didn't come back, by the way. It ought to be obvious. And that leads us to people who claim there is no God. What about people who say they don't believe in God? Well, it's possible to deny what God has put in your heart. It doesn't seem logical, but it's possible. We're not forced to believe it. Eternity in our hearts is something we have to accept. It's sad, but some people deny it. You know, I have no doubt that on the judgment day, some people will stand in the presence of the Lord to give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad, as the Bible says, we all will. And some will say, look, God, I didn't know about eternity. You can't hold it against me because I didn't know about it. What's he going to say? He's going to say, wait a minute. You knew about it. I know you did because I put it in your heart. You just refused to believe it. I used to work with a lady who publicly declared, and she was proud of it, that she was an atheist. To make things worse, it was public knowledge that she struggled with alcohol. She had been observed on numerous occasions at company functions, drunk as a skunk, falling on the floor, making inappropriate comments to fellow employees while in a drunken stupor, bringing shame to the company, but getting away with it because she was a human resources manager. And she could do that and get away with it. One of the meanest people I've ever known. And alcohol does make people mean, but you know, and we commonly refer to her as the company's inhuman resource, by the way. But you know, I always felt that her non-belief in God was more to blame than her alcoholism was to blame for the way she treated people. And it makes sense. If you don't believe in God, then you're not going to believe in eternity. And if you don't believe in eternity, why should you care what the Bible says? Why treat others as you would have them treat you? Why have love in your life? Because God is love, but why have love in your life if you don't believe in eternity? Why be kind to others if you don't believe in eternity? Why be the kind of person you could be in a good way if you don't believe in it? You know, denying the eternity that is in your heart, it'll change your life for the worse and the lives of those around you for the worse as well if you don't believe in eternity. It can lead to making you a ruthless person. because you just don't care. When you deny your spiritual instinct, you end up relying too much on your other instincts. Your mental instinct you're born with, your physical instinct, and you make more mistakes in life and you set bad examples for others because you believe, well, this life is all there is, so it's all about me. I'm going to get all I can before I'm out of here and enjoy it all I can, even though I know I can't take it with me. After all, I don't believe in eternity, so I'm not going anywhere anyway, so I can't take it with me. How different our lives would be if we looked around us in this world and we believed, well, this is all there is. How different things would be for us. When I'm done here, I cease to exist forever because there is no such thing as eternity. The world, this world is the very end of me. A person's life ends up looking like a scavenger hunt. The only thing that matters is finding everything you can accumulate and enjoy it as much as you can because there is nothing to look forward to beyond this world. I'm so glad I know people like you. I really am. I'm so glad I know people who believe in eternity. It means so much to me to know there are others who share that belief with me. It does me so much good, as I said, when I go to a cemetery or I go to a funeral, to know that this person believed in eternity. They accepted the eternity that God put in their hearts. And they were able to live the best they could and to accept the end of their life in a dignified manner because they believed there was more to it than this. If you don't believe in eternity, you reach the point where you are, of all people, most miserable. You want to know why there's so much misery in the world? A lot of it has to do with the lack of belief in eternity. There's a lot of misery in this world, but there are some who are most miserable, as he says, because they deny what's in their heart. Our encouragement this evening, this afternoon, is not to deny what God has put in our hearts. If someone asks you why you believe in eternity, you can just truthfully say you believe because God gave it to you. God put that in my heart, so I believe it. I'm glad we have eternity in our hearts, aren't you? I'm glad we just know that it's real. Makes life a lot easier. Makes things a lot more pleasant. Helps us to deal with our problems. And we all have problems. Man that is born of woman is born to many problems, the Bible says. Eternity in our hearts means so very much. We'll extend the invitation at this time.